Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kentucky for Cannabis. We are a community chapter of Americans for Cannabis. And you can find Americans for Cannabis at AmericansForCannabis.com. You can also find us on Facebook. And, of course, Kentucky for Cannabis on Blog Talk Radio. Or Kentucky for Repeal, which is our afternoon show, also on Blog Talk. And I'm your host, Mary Thomas Spears, or a.k.a. Reverend Mary. I'm the founder of Diverse Sanctuary Community Network online, and my website is designingyourworld.com. That's one big word, designingyourworld.com. And that's my personal website, so you can find out all about me and what I'm about there. I am going to say at this time that we are fixed on changing our hours and our schedule from a 7-day-a-week schedule to a 5-day-a-week schedule. And we're also going to change our hours from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., which will be 12 a.m. in eastern Kentucky. And that's 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, or 12 p.m., not 12 a.m., 12 p.m. on Eastern Time. And in our afternoon show, time will stay the same. So it's just the morning time slot that we're shifting as far as time during the day, although the afternoon show will also go to a 5-day-a-week time period. Because, you know, I need a day off, people, and I can't work all the time because I am a patient. And I'm not only a patient, I'm a grandmother, and I have a house that I have to maintain, and I can't do that if I'm on air 7 days a week and I never get a day off. So, I have to take a day off every once in a while. And that's going to be on the weekends. Of course, we will still be with you on weekends to cover live events that are happening in the area. If there are any live events happening in the area, and as long as we can find a way to make a way to attend those events, course event, or unless we host an event, which we'd like to do. Of course, all that takes money, people. And so we're a new group, not real new, but we've been established about a year, and since that time, there's been all kinds of communication issues, computer breakdowns, and all that, trying to get this information out to you. And so, of course, you know, we haven't had a lot of fundraising happening yet because we've just been trying to get our information out without dunning people for money about it, because none of us are in this for the money. We're just wanting to educate the public. So that's what we're about, and that's what we're trying to do here. And at this time, I invite anyone to call in at 718-664-9048. Of course, all that's fixed on changing as far as call-ins and how we're going to do all that. We're going to change the schedule somewhat, and I'll be issuing a schedule out sometime today, hopefully, as to how our shows will be laid out. Say we'll do one day a week for a special guest, and then we'll also have special guests that will be joining us monthly or weekly, depending on how that works out. Maybe one day a week we'll be promote someone else's work week, while another day will be about what Kentucky for Canvas is doing locally, or how we encourage you to get active locally. So, you know, there will be a schedule laid out to give people a better idea of what we're doing and what we're trying to do and what days they might want to call in on and all that. So, I'm trying to work on that. I see I got a call from 502 area code. And so I'm going to go to pick up that call and see who we got on the line. Okay, 502. Okay, well, you didn't have to join us. I didn't mean to make you leave. I don't know what happened. I was trying to connect the caller and they dropped. So I'm going to ask you, oh, I know what happened. You didn't notify me that you wanted to talk, did you? You just was a listener. See, I'm learning all this stuff, people. And so I just scared away a listener, I think. You got to give me a break, people. All this blog talk stuff is new to me, and I'm figuring it out. And I just figured out that if you wanted to talk to me, I would have heard the beep because you pressed 1 and I didn't hear it. And so, look, all this is new to me. Give me a break. And I don't mean to scare off our live listeners, so that really... Oh, man, I'm sorry I made that mistake. See, we're all human, and even though I'm an old card at this repeal movement or legalization stuff, because this is something I've been dealing with for 20 years, and I might be really good at websites because I've been doing that for 15 years, this broadcasting stuff's all new to me, and so I'm learning it, and I'm teaching it to myself, just like I taught everything else to myself. Well, I didn't teach it all to myself, but you know, building a website, all that. I'm self-taught at this stuff, people, so you gotta give me a break. Well, yesterday I started trying to explain to people that that I'm a patient, and I didn't get a whole lot of that done because we had a bunch of callers coming in, and so I wanted to try to speed it up today because it seemed like it was going real slow yesterday. Let me say for the record, I suffer from SMS, which is stiff man syndrome or stiff person syndrome. It's very much like multiple sclerosis, only it's extremely rare. I was told when I was diagnosed, I was the third person in the entire world diagnosed with this disease, and that the first two were men. And that the reason they had called it stiff man syndrome is they thought it affected only men. I was the first woman ever diagnosed with this disease. And that was in 1996, 97. And at that time, there is only three of us known in the world, and today there's a whole group of stiff men patients or stiff person patients, because now they call it stiff person syndrome. And there's not a very big group of us. There's a handful of us in the world. But they have located more women with the illness, and so I'm not the only one. And you can find information on stiff man syndrome or stiff person syndrome by entering it into your search engine. There's not a lot of info on it. This is an illness that they don't know a lot about. And really, like one doctor told me nearly 20 years ago, or 18 years ago when I received this diagnosis, if there's any real experts on this disease, it's you patients, because you're the ones that have been living with it, and so you know it better than we do. And so that was back then, and this is now, and I've become an expert on a lot of things, including this illness. So if you have any questions about stiff man syndrome, well, you can ask me, and I'll answer them best I can. But I'm not a physician. I'm a patient, okay? I also have been diagnosed with cancer and tumors in the past, and I am currently still fighting cancer, and I have survived cancer many times already. My first diagnosis was in 95, 96, and since then I've had surgery twice, no, surgery three times, and I've never done chemo or radiation. I've always chose holistic means in treating my cancer. I'm still here, people, and I've been diagnosed with uterine cancer, throat cancer, in order in which diagnosis was received, lung cancer, and then a cancerous mass was removed from my breast this year, in my left breast. But I'm still here, as I said, and I'm still kicking and giving it a fight. I've also been diagnosed with open-angle glaucoma, which causes blindness, and as far as I know, there's no successful treatment for, as far as surgery goes, although there are drops that they can give you to treat it that does slow the blindness. There is a surgery, but I've been told by my doctor that operation is not as successful as they would like you to believe that it is. And my eye doctor would not recommend that surgery to me. But my eye doctor understands the importance of cannabis and how cannabis can be used, cannabis, marijuana, hemp, can be used to treat glaucoma and to avoid blindness. So he has not recommended that surgery to me. Okay. I also have been diagnosed with COPD. That's coronary it has to do with emphysema. I know what it is, but I'm sorry, my brain's not working right this morning. But COPD is it comes from having emphysema, and you get it before you develop cancer, probably, usually, if I am understanding it correctly. And so I probably developed it before I developed the cancer in my lungs, but it affects the arteries in your body and how the oxygen flows through your arteries to your brain. And it is a number one cause of strokes and heart attacks. And so this is another thing I'm dealing with. So I'm a patient, people, and that's one of the things that brought me into this movement. It's not the only thing that brought me into this movement. As I mentioned yesterday, I am an addict, and I was addicted to alcohol and prescription drugs. And the result of my addiction to prescription drugs, which happened early on because due to molestation and abuse that I suffered as a child. I was medicated as a child, beginning at 8 years old. At 8 years old, I was prescribed Librium to calm me down or to help me forget what was happening to me. And within a year, the Librium went to Valium. By the time I was 14 years old, I learned how to doctor shop and buy my pills in the street. And so by the time I was 15, I was full-blown alcoholic and addict. And that's when I married my first husband. So that's another thing that brought me into this drug war is that I can't use the prescription drugs like most people do and will because I have a tendency to abuse narcotics and they have a tendency to prescribe me narcotics. So it doesn't work for me. And so that's another thing that brought me into this drug war. And finally, I'd like to say that, it's not really finally, because it's not the only reason, or it's not the last reason, so it's not finally. They tried to put my son on prescription drugs when he was approximately 8 years old, because they had diagnosed him with ADHD, and as a child who had been put on prescription drugs at the age of 8, I fought against the schools and the city on this issue. And that led me to the next reason I'm in this drug war. In 1995, I was arrested for 6 felonies. That's 3 felonies in trafficking in marijuana and 3 felonies for trafficking within 1,000 yards of the school. Those felonies were eventually merged into 3 felonies instead of 6 felonies, which became 3 felonies for trafficking in marijuana within 1,000 yards of the school, even though the within 1,000 yards of the school was supposed to be dropped because we had proved in court that there was no place you could stand in Bowling Green that wasn't within 1,000 yards of a school. But that's another show. So these are the things that brought me into this drug war, some of the things that brought me into this drug war, and some of the reasons why I choose to use cannabis as opposed to using pharmaceutical narcotics. And let me say for the record, cannabis sativa is not the only herb I use to treat my illnesses, or not my illnesses, the illnesses that I deal with every day. And I corrected myself on that because I'm not claiming this disease. It's not mine. It doesn't belong to me, and I don't want it. So, and words are very important, people. And so I had to correct myself on that. So, now that you know a little bit more about what brought me here, let me say at this time that even though I fought a medical cannabis case here in Kentucky when I was arrested for 6 felonies, I did not do that just to keep my ass out of jail. I did that to call attention to this issue, people, and to get the truth about this plant out there where it belongs. I did it because I'm not the only patient who's been arrested, who has suffered in jail from medical neglect, who's been beaten inside of a jail or by a police officer, has been possibly, well, I was raped inside of a jail. So there's probably other patients out there that's been raped. I've been tortured inside the jail by officers and guards. I'm sure I'm not the only one out there that's been tortured and beaten and raped by jail guards and police. And, you know, I'm a patient and a parent, you know, and I'm sure I'm not the only patient and parent out there. I know what this did to my family and to my son, and I'm sure there's lots of families and children out there who are going through this or have been through this. But, these are the things that brought me into the drug war, because there was no one, when I was being beaten by jail guards and cops and harassed and tortured, there was no one for me, no one there, no one to stop it. And so the reason I do what I do is because I don't want you to feel like you're alone. You're not alone. It's not just happening to you. It happens all the time. And that's why people are so afraid to speak out. And so somebody has to stand up. And, you know, they taught me one thing. They taught me they can make me disappear in a minute. And they taught me that I can be forgotten about in a minute. But they also told me that this is only temporary, that it all goes away, that they're not as powerful as they think they are, that they can destroy my flesh, but they can't touch my spirit. That they only made me stronger in the end. And they only validated everything I believed. So this is the reasons I do what I do. I invite you to tell me the reasons why this drug war affects you, or to ask me questions about cannabis, marijuana, hemp. I invite you to ask me anything you want. I'm here. I'm willing to answer. I invite you to, check out the facts. If you don't believe me, my court records are a part of, public record. So, and I say nobody was there for me when that was happening, but there was one man who stood beside me during all those trials who was there for me in court, and that was Gatewood Galbraith. And God, I miss him. And he represented me in court during that first case for 8 years at his own expense, driving over 100 miles one way to court, because he knew that it was a case that he could beat, and that this was a case that we could make some difference with, that this was a case that could possibly change laws in Kentucky. And it did change laws in Kentucky, or it helped change laws in Kentucky. It was a big part of what helped to change the laws here. And so when you stand up in court and you fight them and you present them with the science and the evidence of cannabis sativa, you can win, because that's what we did. We just fought this case using their laws and the science and evidence that they had. And we won. And we didn't completely win. In the first case, I ended up with one felony instead of six. And I am known today, and what I'm best known for is being the only... is for making history in U.S. courts for being the only drug trafficking felon who was never, who was convicted for drug trafficking, but who never served any significant period on her sentence, any period of time significant on her sentence. And a significant period of time on her sentence. I'm also known for flunking over 200 drug tests because I wouldn't let them test me for THC. Well, I let them test me. I just wouldn't pass any other tests for THC when I was pissing in their cup. And I told the judge I wouldn't. Okay, we're Americans for Cannabis. You can find us at AmericansForCannabis.com. If you want to schedule to be on this show, call me at 270-904-0279 so I can schedule to get you on this show. The number to call for this show is 718-664-9048. And we're on Monday through Friday after today, people, at 11 a.m. after today. I invite you to join us. I invite you to share your stories. I invite you to ask questions. And you can tell us about your agenda also. Free Roger Christie. 2 years without a trial is too long. Even, you know, it's just too long, people. All right. Be a blessing and be blessed. We'll see you. Love you.